Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic. My name is Stacey Lunsford. I thank you so much for joining us today. Today's song was entitled, I Know the Plans That I Have for You. And the song was by Morris Chapman. And the foundational scripture that I would like to share today as we transition into today's topic, which is empowerment and education for young girls and women. Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, in 11th verse. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future, a hope. Then you will call on me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then with a deep longing, you will seek me and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes, and I will free you and gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. And we are going to be talking about education, and God knows the plans that he has for us. We're going to be talking about empowerment today, and again, God knows the plans that he has for us. And the key is found in Matthew 6:33, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, and strive after his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing, and be right. The attitude and character of God and all these things will be given to you also. So as we are preparing to open up this roundtable discussion about education, about empowerment for young girls and for women, this discussion is not limited to young girls and to women. This topic is open to everyone, little boys and men as well, but today we will be focusing on the young girls and the women. And I'm going to introduce my guest to you in a moment, but I want to just highlight the importance of sharing the scriptures that I shared as we transition into this topic, because everything we do with our children, with our young boys, our young girls, and as they transition into young men and young women, it all begins at home. And for those of us that are believers, we are responsible for teaching and training our children. And the Word of God has all of the instructions that we need. So that song, I Know the Plans, as I was preparing for today's session, I was just meditating on this word, and I was just letting the song just really, you know, the Lord was just ministering to me, because our children, they are the future for this world, and they have plans. They have great plans, and it begins at home. Parents, as we watch over our children, we see their gifts, we see their talents, we see their abilities, we see their strengths, and we see their weaknesses. And as we include God, the nurturing and the cultivation of our children and the gifts, the skills, the abilities, everything that we see in them, they will be that much more successful. So I want to encourage everyone to go back to the basics. Let's not look to the left or look to the right. Let's not lean to our own understanding, but let's go back to the basics, to follow God's instructions, to seek his face, and to do things his way. Because we are responsible, we are accountable for teaching our children and supporting our children and even correcting our children. So I just wanted to lay that foundation, because we cannot just jump into education and empowerment without acknowledging that it begins at home, and we have a responsibility to educate our children and to empower our children. And after we lay that foundation, our confidence is knowing that we have provided all of the tools that our children need to be successful in life. And the truth of the matter is, many trials and tribulations, adversities, traumas, crisis, various things happen to parents, happen to children, and children are affected. And this affects their ability to do well in school. So we're going to cover a wide variety of topics today. And if you are listening, you are welcome to join the discussion by pressing #1 on your phone, and we will be able to address your comments, your concerns, and we'll be more than happy to speak with you. Now, today I have two guests with me, and I take this time to introduce you to Dr. Stefania Forte, attorney Claudia Lynch. Good morning, ladies. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Good morning.
Good
Stacey.
Morning,
thank you.
Stacey.
Good morning. So we are going to start this discussion, and I'm going to start with Dr. Forte. Could you please tell us about your educational foundation and why you chose to be a guest today with this particular topic? And when you're done, then Attorney Claudia, I want you to address the same question, because I know that you both are passionate about education and empowerment for women and young girls. But I want you to kind of give us our background, give us your background and why this topic is important to you, and then we're going to go into our bullet points of discussion today.
Thank you so much, Stacey. Thank you, everyone. And I always appreciate my invitation and your platform to share information on education and also on the work that I do in Liberia. So thank you again for the opportunity. My name is Dr. Stefania Forte. I am the founder and executive director of Stefania Forte Education Foundation. We primarily based in Liberia, West Africa, and we focus on girls' education and mainly on the subject of school-related gender-based violence. So we are under that umbrella of girls' education, women's empowerment, and I live between Liberia and the U.S. And I'm basically in the U.S. a lot of times, as you know, Stacey, for fundraising purposes. But my work is predominantly in Liberia. And I always love to talk about the subject of education, especially that you mentioned early childhood education and the role of the home as the primary place where everything starts in regards to a child's social literacy acquisition, all of the norms and practices that they learn starts at home to help prepare them for the world and for formal schooling. So I'm excited to speak with you today, with Attorney Lynch, with the listeners and people who will call in. And today we'll talk a little bit about parental involvement education, especially early childhood education. And I look forward to just sharing some information and also how parents can become more involved and use free resources, and also some barriers to parental involvement. But I look forward to today. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I take this time to introduce you to Attorney Lynch. So now you guys get a chance to meet. And Attorney Lynch, we turn the mic over to you.
So
Thank you so much, Ms. Stacy. Good morning, good morning, good morning to your listeners as well. So I'm just sitting here and I'm listening to Dr. Stefania, and I am just blown away at the divine appointment, because just this week I was reminiscing on my educational foundation, and that was my grandmother, who was a director of a early childhood education preschool facility in Jamaica. And so my passion for education actually stems from the fact that education was an important part of the foundation that we were taught as children growing up. I like to say I was about two, because I think as soon as I could walk, I was going to school. And because my grandmother wasn't a stay-at-home grandma, my mom and dad both were working, and so as soon as I could walk, I was going to school. And even before I could walk, probably, I was around education, because my grandmother also, she would have a tutoring sessions at her home after school for kids, just to either give them extra help or for the kids who weren't in preschool to get them started. And so education has been my foundation, you know, for so very long. And I actually credit that early childhood education for my love for reading, for my drive to continue, even when I faced adversity, you know, trying to get my law degree. In that process, had it not been for that foundation that was instilled in me as a child to continue to pursue, to know that that is my key to escaping poverty or escaping the circumstances in which I was born. And so Ms. Stacy already said that I'm an attorney. So I give you just a little bit about what where I'm coming from or what I'm doing right now. Federal government, I'm with the U.S. Army, and I also have a business that provides legal services to individuals and to families. And so I'm all about empowering families. I'm especially passionate about empowering women and young girls, because I believe that women, as moms in the home, we have such a pivotal role in guiding our children. And so my passion for education is because I've been the product of that passion being instilled in me by my grandmother, who served in that capacity. So I know we'll have a little bit more time to discuss, but I, you know, that I wanted to start off with that.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for sharing. And I hear the passion in both of your voices. And just a little bit about my background. Everything began at home, you know, and we always had books. It's like out of all of the gifts, we were always getting new books. And I love to read. And we started early, you know, preschool, you go to kindergarten. And so I had a pretty good foundation before I even started kindergarten. But education was important to both mom and dad. And, you know, we had to go to school. We had to study, do our homework. And I carried that same tradition with my children. Before my children transitioned to school, although they entered the early stages, they were ready to go straight to first grade. Education is important to me because we need to know who we are, we need to know what we want, and we need to know where we're going, which brings me back to the plans. We all have different passions, different desires. And, you know, when we're small children in school, one of the number one questions that is always presented to a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? Even before they get to school, family members, what do you want to be when you grow up? So all of the wonderful answers that children give all over the world, how do we get there? How do they get there? How do we help them get there? So that's some of the things that we're going to talk about today, and we're going to talk about the early stages of education and the importance of preschool and early education, starting with the nursery schools. We have a lot of moms and dads that can't stay home with their children now, so their children are placed in daycare or nursery or educational programs where from an infant up until maybe 3 or 4 when they go to kindergarten, they're in these facilities where educational foundations are being laid. And a lot of them today, they are doing wonderful jobs. So I want to highlight in our discussion the benefits of preschool, the early foundational stages that are available to the affluential children and then for the less privileged children as well. And I would like to highlight the children in third world countries because all children do not have the ability to go to preschool or to participate in, you know, those foundational stages of education that are important that helps to mold them and prepare them for what they really want to be in life. So we could just, you know, whatever is on your heart, we could just start the roundtable discussion, and then we'll just piggyback off of each other. And whoever would like to start.
So, sure. Stacey, but one of the things that I'm sorry, Dr. Stefania. One of the things that that really breaks my heart is when I go to other countries and I see young children having to work or having to, you know, help to support the household at an early age. And so the first time I really noticed that was in a conference I went to in Mexico, and there were these little children. They couldn't be more than 3 years old, and they were selling little pencils. And this little girl approached me to buy a pencil, and I just wanted to pick her up and take her home. And I'm looking around. I'm like, where's the adult that you know, responsible for this child? And it just absolutely broke my heart. So I understand that sometimes there are circumstances that, you know, you're put in as a parent, but it's so important to invest in the future of our generation. And so, you know, even for working moms, let's take it back to the United States for working moms. You know, when I was, my children were little and I was working, it's hard to have to come home from a job and you're tired. And even though the child's in school, but you have to invest that time, I believe, in helping your child, making sure they're doing their homework, making sure that, you know, they see that you place an importance on education. And by you taking the time, you got to carve that time out. We make time for what's important. I believe that. And so education has to be one of those things that we make a priority in the home because it's our responsibility, like you so accurately stated. As parents, it's our responsibility to train our children, right? The school system is there, and that's their role, but it's our responsibility as parents to make sure that the school system is giving the child what they need to succeed. And then they should be supplementing what we've already implanted. I'll turn the floor over to Dr. Stefania, who has maybe a different perspective or some more to share on that.
Thank you so much, Attorney Lynch, and I really appreciate it when you highlighted the point of having a responsibility but also making a priority, which means that we talked about earlier about different socioeconomic status and parents who may have a lot of barriers in front of them that may may cause challenges for them to become positively involved in your child's education, especially early childhood education. So even recognizing all of that, Attorney Lynch just talked about the intention, the responsibility, and making a priority, because people will do what's important to them. People will focus on what's important to them. And there's a positive link between parental involvement and child's literacy acquisition process and the child's future academic success. So with that said, it is important for the parents to also recognize that they're the child's first and primary educator. Everything starts at home. And Stacey, you mentioned that earlier. Everything starts at home. And Attorney Lynch talked about how the home is the foundation. The home is where they're supposed to acquire the basic skills, and the schools basically build onto the skills. So it's important today that we recognize the barriers that parents face, but also the fact that we are responsible for this. The emerging literacy process does start at home. At home is where the child acquires all of those social skills, all of those literacy skills to help them transition into a formal curriculum, to help them succeed at interacting with other in different social settings. So also I was thinking about earlier, while preparing for the show, how every international initiative to help eradicate poverty and also focus on women's empowerment, it fundamentally urges the need for education. Every initiative internationally focuses on the basic need of education. That's a child's right. So now education has become more than just acquisition of knowledge, but it's become a human right issue. It's become an ethical issue. It's become a social justice issue. And I'm glad today that we're talking about how it starts at home, because I feel like a lot of times parents do not know how important they are in the child's educational experience and their role, like I said earlier, as the primary educator. And that role doesn't stop once the child transitions into formal education. That role continues because parental involvement has to also connect with that home and the school partnership. So that involvement helps the child also as they go through the academic process, as they form relationships in different learning communities. So it's like an ever-evolving partnership between the school and the home, but it's also an ever-evolving relationship between the child and the parent.
And that is so true. And I'm loving the passion that I hear. And the moment you said the social justice, I got so excited. And, you know, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you to parents all over the globe, because many parents are going above and beyond to educate their children and to lay that foundation. And I want to encourage the parents to continue to work with your children and to hold your schools accountable and to get the results that you want for your child if you are not satisfied with what's happening at your child's school or the level of education, the curriculum. All of that stuff matters. But if we don't use our voice and advocate for our children, nothing is going to change. But I wanted to acknowledge that we do have parents that are going above and beyond, and we do have educators. We have teachers, principals, and administrators, and even volunteers, especially in the third world countries, that are doing phenomenal jobs. Now, the one thing that I wanted to piggyback on with Attorney Lynch and Stefania, and I want us to really be laid back. Like, this is, you know, we're just sitting around at the kitchen table having our tea or our coffee. But Dr. Stefania, when you call her doctor, I kind of chuckle because she is a doctor. She is a legal spiritual doctor. I mean, a spiritual. Awesome. Yes, yeah, she's a spiritual. She's a doctor, attorney. Can you, Claudia, tell her who you are, girl?
So, Dr. Stefania, meet Dr. Lynch. In my last time I was with Ms. Stacy on the show, we talked about, you know, just the fact that I wanted to be a medical doctor when I was growing up. And God had the different plans. He knew the plans he had for me. And so he changed it from the medical doctor to being a legal doctor. And it did not dawn on me until after Miss Stacy came back and said, you know, she saw me as a doctor of the law, that it dawned on me after the show, as I was just, you know, pondering over the things we talked about, that the degree I got is a JD. It's a Juris Doctor.
Yes.
It's a doctor of law.
It's a Juris Doctor. Exactly. So you're actually a doctor in law. Yeah, of law.
I was so blown away all the time I'm telling the story. I wanted to be a doctor. But somehow, you know, I got changed and I thought about it. Oh my gosh, I am a doctor. I got exactly what I wanted. But God put me where he needed me.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of education, that a lot of times I tell the girls, the young girls in Liberia, is you don't have to figure all out so early. And
right.
You know how in college, especially sometimes you're before college, in high school, they ask you, and so what's your career path, and what university do you want to attend, and what's your major? And I had no idea what I wanted. So I was the student who will change her major and figure something out, probably say, I should probably like go and Pharm D or Psych D, but I knew I wanted a terminal degree, but I just wasn't sure. And it's okay to not interrupt the journey, but it's okay to sort of like, you know, take a few detours and explore some options and not figure it out so early, because it took me a while before deciding that, okay, education is my passion, so I should pursue my passion versus pursuing something that was probably more lucrative, but pursuing what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I had to make those decisions, and it happened later. It was not in high school, and it was not in undergrad. It was later. It was through my work experience, through my education experience, through just different relationships that I've had professionally, and as my family transitioned and changed, build you as a person, as a woman, and it's okay to change. And I tell these young girls, don't stick with one thing because you feel that's the pressure. It's okay to change, but just do not interrupt the journey. Keep some sort of consistency.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to say, I don't know if this is what I want to be. It is fine.
Right.
But just keep moving. Keep moving forward.
I love that, Dr. Stefania, because I'm truly a living ambassador for the notion of taking the scenic route through college. And so, you know, I started out thinking, oh, you know, I was so passionate. I know I wanted to be a doctor. Now, this was in me since I was probably in elementary school. So I don't know what my motivation was. It probably was, you know, that pristine, clean smell at the clinic when my mom took me to the doctor. I don't know what it was, but that's what I wanted to do. Maybe it was the white coat. Who knows? But as a little kid, this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, some of it could have been pressure from being asked what you want to do at an early age, and you just pick something, you know. So I had no real reason for why I wanted to do it besides, you know, as I kept pondering on it, I kept making up reasons or finding a rationale for why it would be a great thing to do. And so I never took inventory of myself, because at that time, who knows who you are? You haven't developed yet, right? So there is definitely, you know, a benefit to learning who you are, becoming who God wants you to be. And as you develop and figure that out, and then he'll show you, he'll lead you, he'll put people in your path to kind of help guide you to find out what it is that he wants you to do. And he made it so clear to me, you know, because I had to get to the point where I had to ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because I felt like I was academically just flapping in the wind.
Exactly.
And I had to let go of me. I had to let go of what Claudia thought she wanted, and I had to seek God. But that's how he does us sometimes, isn't it? He waits until, you know, you run out all your energy running around, think you're doing, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, doing what you want to do. And then when you get good and tired and you get you know, at, down on your knees because of the frustration, because you're beating your head against that brick wall trying to get to the place you think you're supposed to go. And then when you stop, when you let go of your desires and you seek God's desires for you, then he'll bring someone along who'll help pick you up, maybe dust you off a little bit, and walk you around the other side of the building and show you the door.
That's
so
great.
That was kind of my story, because I it took me 8 years from high school to graduating college. 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was nine. A 4-year college degree in 9 years.
And that links to the what we're just talking about, is, but you did not interrupt the process. It's okay
to
just
stop.
You did not stop. And just to connect that back to the involvement of the home, I always encourage parents and tell them that education is just not this formal reading and writing. Let's just sit down. I believe, like you said earlier, Attorney Claudia, how it has to be consistent, in a sense that has to be structured. For example, every evening you read, you write, you have language embedded experiences. But I tell parents, have these conversations with your children earlier. Have it when you're three, when you're five. Start talking about what are the things that you like to do. What things? How do you feel when you do this? I think that's so searching of that journey of self-discovery should start the earliest as possible. Not when you're 18 and you're like, I don't know, at a career fair or college fair, you have to sort of figure out the decisions to make right there. But I think once we start teaching children how to look within and how to start listening to their voice and start connecting with a higher power, right, and start having that divine guidance and say, this is your journey. I'm here as a guidance and support, but this is your experience. And I think sometimes that's we forget, and I remember someone saying that we're not the helicopter parents anymore. We're like the paved way parents. So we like remove every obstacle from in front of our child so they can move through life. But I tell parents, start having these engaging conversations with your children. These are all learning experiences, because it starts to help the child do something that's very critical. We can learn how to read and write. Those are skills. But that process of knowing who you are, some of us are still going through it, trying to figure out who you are as a person, your likes and your dislikes, and what you're really. I think someone said one time that your most important job on this earth is to know why you're on this earth and what you are put on this earth to do. At a very early age, parents have that primary role to start engaging children to think more critically and do that critical self-reflection, that they start thinking about even education, right? What is education? How does this knowledge fit into what I want to do in this world? And that's, if anybody's listening, you can read a little bit more about critical pedagogy. It is actually pedagogy that's focused on transformative education, or education for the oppressed, and it starts to make you think about what is education, what is knowledge, where is this knowledge coming from, what do I do with this knowledge once I have it? Because I remember also my mom telling me, okay, you have all these degrees, but what are you going to do with it? And it made me sit and think and say, okay, I have it now. What do I do with it? Do I earn, or do I impact, and how do I impact? And these conversations, kids are very smart. We really overlook the intelligence of children many times. They are very smart. To start engaging them early, to start questioning, to start thinking, to start using their own minds, because society and peer pressure and just pressures as you get older, you're bombarded from every angle. But once you have that sort of inner how can I say that? Not inner confidence, but you sort of have a knowledge of who you are and where you're going. And as you transition, everything stays constant with you.
Awesome.
This is an awesome discussion,
ladies. I love that. I'm just over here cheering.
No, this ain't enough. Here I am. I am loving this discussion, and there's so much that I want to comment on. And I want to start with the spiritual piece of the educational background, because most of us, we grew up in the church, had godly parents, and they taught us about God's word. And in God's word, a foundation was learned. That was laid for us, that our first love, because it was those Sunday school lessons that we learned. It was our favorite characters in the Bible that was teaching us lessons that we learned how to apply to our lives. So now we're in school and we're doing like what we're told to do, because from an elementary school, you really don't have much of a voice. But once you transition to junior high school into high school, now you pretty much have your own voice, your own identity, and you realize there's a special direction you want to go into. And sometimes we tend to move away from that spiritual foundation. And our parents, and not all parents, but a lot of parents want their children to study what they want them to study as they pursue higher education. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of children, young adults, that have spent their life trying to satisfy or fulfill their parents' dream versus fulfilling their own dream, which I want to say, going back, Claudia, because what you said, you went back to asking God, what are your plans for me? And so that is very important. And I found for myself that I had to go back to the basics. And I think it's something that we all do, but we always go back to the foundation. So while we're having this discussion, I also want to highlight some of the weak areas of the infrastructure and things that happen in the process while we're pursuing our education, our higher education. And Claudia, the 9 years that it took for you to get your degree, it took 9 years, but you was a full-time mother. You was a full-time employee. You were working. You was doing everything you had to take care of your family. And Dr. Stefania, you've been in school. You accomplished so much, and you had your plate was full as well. So it's not easy to pursue higher education, and having a good support system really makes a difference. So a part of this discussion today, can we talk about the struggles? Because for those of you that are listening, and I'm speaking to the young adults that may be listening, I'm speaking to the older individuals, because we have a lot of adults that are returning to school, but whatever category you fall into, the moment you make a decision to pursue higher education, trials and tribulations are going to come up against you. So you really have to prepare yourself for the struggle, and you must be determined that no matter what happens, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to press in. I'm going to persevere. And I can't stress that enough, because every time I'm in school now, college, but I'm on break right now. But every time I started, major problems happened. So how do you ladies feel about that? And what can you contribute to that part of the discussion to encourage someone? Because I believe too many people drop out and they stop. Because life struggles.
Absolutely. So, Ms. Stacy, I'll give my perspective. So when I think the pivotal moment for me was when I was maybe in the fourth or fifth grade. I think it was the fourth. Yeah, it was before fifth grade. I know that. But I was messing up in school. So math is numbers have never been my thing. Math was never my strong suit, and I didn't like the details, I think, in math. And so I was doing poorly in math. I wasn't really trying. I was a reader, and so I did well in everything else except math. And so I was with my dad in a bank, and he ran into my teacher. I did not know my dad knew my teacher or my teacher knew my dad. And my teacher did not know that that was my dad until she saw me with him. She came up to him. She said, "Oh, that's your father? Okay, okay. So I know you can do better." Because she knew my father and she knew my family. Now she's making the connection. And so she said I had the potential to do better and that, you know, he needed to make sure that I did that. My dad had me look around the bank, see these lovely ladies. Now, this is Jamaica, and the ladies are dressed in a uniform. They wear uniformed clothing, like flight attendants almost, for wherever they work. It identifies them. And so he told me, take a look at these ladies and how nice they look. They have a nice job. That's because they pay attention in school, and they did their work. Then he took me across the street to the market. This is an open-air market in the Caribbean where there is, you know, just, we call them higglers, but they are vendors who are out there selling their wares. They are selling produce. This is not a fancy, you know, what we see now as a farmer's market. It was a farmer's market, but it was very crowded. Everyone was just kind of stacked together. There's still, you know, old produce from the last time, you know, the folks were there. So there's the smell of rotting fruits and vegetables in the air, right? Stagnant water. And my dad told me at that time, you need to make a choice. So if you're in school, you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, and you don't take the time to learn, this is your potential future. You just do what you can to make ends meet. But if you pay attention, you walk me back over to the bank just so that I can get the contrast and comparison again. He walked me back over to the bank, and he said, feel the difference, because the bank had air conditioning. This was a hot Saturday day in probably, I don't remember what time of year it was, but Jamaica's hot all year round. So the bank is a stark contrast to the market. The environment is a stark contrast. There was chaos in the market. There was order in the bank. And so for me as a little kid, you know, I knew then that I needed to focus on education, because the lifestyle that I would have, the places I could go, the things I could do would be different depending on my approach to my education. Now, my dad also took the time to be a little bit more involved in what I'm doing to make sure I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But taking that, fast-forwarding that a little bit, so that's my foundation and my first life lesson, I think, in you know, just being kind of in-your-face lesson of, hey, you get to make the choice of where you want to go. But fast-forward, when I went to college, I went to, you know, I was flying right all the way, you know, since then, from like third grade on through high school. And I graduated at the top of my class in high school, went off to college, you know, with the plans to do great things. And then I hit my first roadblock. I realized that did not have the acumen for the curriculum to become a doctor. Chemistry was kicking my butt. Basic gross anatomy, emphasis on gross, I couldn't deal. And so that was my wake-up call, like, yeah, this is not going to work. And so I went back to when I did my first, after my first year, I took the semester off because I didn't know what I needed to do. I knew that, you know, things weren't quite right. And so my mom had a friend, an assistant pastor in the church, who she talked to, because she was so just destroyed that I was taking this break from college and she still thought I was dropping out. So she had him to talk to me. And I had to tell him, I said, listen, I'm not interested right now in impressing anybody. I'm not interested in getting going to school to make my mom happy. Like, I would like her to be proud, but I can't do it for her. So I did high school to do everything to make my parents happy. Right now, I have to figure out what it is that I need to do and how I'm going to do it. And so I don't know where that confidence or that determination came from. I can only give credit to God that he instilled that in me at an early age. But at 18, 19, I'm telling this pastor, like, hey, I don't care about another person's opinion of what I'm doing in college, because what I do from now going forward is going to determine the lifestyle I can have and the life that I will live. So right now I have to do what's right for me to be able to manage. And I wasn't where I was. I wasn't being successful. So I had to take inventory of where I was going and how I was going to get there. And so those 9 years, I wasn't completely out of school. I had that one semester that I took a break, and then I went back and it still wasn't working. So I had to come back and I just decided, hey, you know what, you need to take manageable bites. And so I came back and I went to a community college, and I just took classes. I had to figure something out. So I just wanted to continue. I just had to continue. So I did a business management degree. I figured business, there are businesses everywhere. You can always use that. But at the time I was lost. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so I picked something to hopefully, you know, just kind of bridge the time until I figured out where I needed to be. But there was one class in that business management degree that was required, and it was business law. And that, I think I took that towards the end of my time in business management. And so I took business law, and like the heavens just opened up. It was so clear to me. I just ate up everything about the topic. And so that was my first indication that, okay, this law thing may be the way to go. But law, that to me, that was huge. So because I desired to be a doctor, law wasn't that far from the spectrum in terms of, you know, the difficulty or the journey to get there, the schooling and all of that. But it wasn't something I was familiar with or had thought about. And then my professor, on my final exam, he put a little comment next to my grade. He said, you have a real knack for the law, consider going to law school. And that little comment was confirmation for what I was feeling inside. I wasn't sure I would be able to do it, but the fact that that gentleman took the time to make that positive comment and encourage me in that regard made a difference in my life. And so encouragement is important. So, you know, when we're going through these struggles, no matter how long it takes, if you have a goal in mind, you know, just keep plugging away. And you won't always be on that path that's paved. Sometimes you have to chart your own course, or sometimes you have to take that scenic route to get there. But it is so important to remain confident in what you want to do and what your abilities are, right? But you can't be confident in those abilities if you don't know them, right? So you have to, I think, tap into that inner power, and it's not just you, but you got to know that you're a part of this universe and you're here for a reason. And you got to reach up to God and say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And I think too, Miss Stacy, you had talked about the the church and being involved in church. And oftentimes we are compartmentalizing school, education, and church as if they're two separate things. But, you know, yeah. Education, your mission and your ministry is kind of what you do for your job. And we don't often realize that. I didn't realize that until much, 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 much later, that a part of my ministry is what I do for a living. So I'm not going to monopolize the subject. I'm just so passionate about it. But through the struggle, it was important to me to know where I was going. And so when I got the glimmer of doubt, even from my mom, which, you know, that was a little bit hurtful, that, you know, she didn't trust me to persevere, right? But it wasn't because she didn't trust me. I had to realize that later on. It was because she was concerned for my well-being, right? And so there are sometimes that people will show doubt or question, you know, where are you going or what's that major? What are you going to do with that degree? It's not because they're doubting necessarily, but sometimes they're concerned. You know, if you get that degree in history, well, what are you going to do with that? Because the concern is, are you going to be able to take care of yourself? Is there a market for what it is that you're, you know, you have to build that in. I have a cousin who has a literature degree, and I thought to myself, well, what's she going to do with that? You know, you can't just be reading with your degree. So, Ms. Stefania, let me turn the floor over to you, maybe add something.
Thank you so much. That was so inspiring, everything you talked about. And you know what's interesting? When you said the experience that you shared about your father, and I chuckled a bit when you said that, because that is such an immigrant parent teachable moment, because my mother is from Liberia, my father is from Italy, and I have many of those, like, come see what your life is going to turn out to be if you don't pursue your education moment. I tell these, like, experiences to other people, they're like, your mom did that? I'm like, yeah, several times.
Yeah.
I just want to give you this real-life experience. Like, you see that person over there? That's how you're going to end up if you don't educate yourself. So when you said that, it sort of, like, reminded me of those, like, childhood experiences of, you know, our parents just wanting the best for us and showing us the best way they knew how. So thank you for sharing that. But I also wanted to anyone who's listening, and Stacey talked about earlier how difficult it is to pursue any form of higher education. I tell people this: if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right? But it's not, especially higher education. The higher up you go, the lower the percentages are of people who have acquired those degrees. I think like a doctorate, all for the doctorate level, is probably like 2%. And I understand, because if you go through it, it is so hard. Like sometimes you think to yourself, why am I doing this again? Why am I torturing myself in this way? But it's interesting because I think Attorney Claudia mentioned something about wanting it. She took the scenic route. We all did. But that consistency, the persistence, the determination to keep going for something and not giving up. So I would tell people, surround yourself with people who are positive. Get a support system. And also, don't share everything with everyone, because not everybody understands what your vision is for your life. And another thing I would say as well, it is your life. Somebody else cannot want something more than you. You have to want it more than everybody else around you. You have to take ownership. If this is something you want, and that's with anything, it could be higher education, it could be how can I be the best parent, it could be career, anything you put your mind to. I'm a firm believer in the fact that if you put your mind to something and you focus on the steps, because having a dream and not having goals to accomplish that, it just remains a dream. But once you have the goals and you have consistency and determination and discipline, you can achieve any dream. Because I firmly believe once I can see it in my head, I can touch it, I can feel it, I can realize it. I believe in that. So surround yourself with people who are positive, people who understand, people who are going to support you. And also know that not everybody that's in your family or your friends might share the same vision or might be your support system. Sometimes your support system might have to come from people who are not close to you, but people who can just get you there to the finish line. And another thing I would say, be kind to yourself through the process, because acquiring education is not an event. It is a process. It's a series of events that leads to the culminating of a degree or a certification or whatever the end goal is. But it is a process. And be kind to yourself through that process, because it's going to be very challenging, especially if you're paying for your own tuition, if you're a single parent, if you're a parent in general, if you're married. Once you're not the traditional student, you're going to have challenges because even traditional students have challenges. So be kind to yourself. Enjoy the process as much as you can. Those are one of the things I thought about because I feel like I just sort of like have like cloudy memories of undergrad because I was just working and paying for my tuition and going through. So enjoy the process as much as you can. And another thing I would say is keep, and attorney Colia mentioned that she kept going, even if it took her 8-9 years, she kept going. And my mom said to me one time, she said, what you put in your head, no one can take from you. People can take knowledge away from you. And I tell the girls in my school all the time, that belongs to you. Nobody can strip away your degree. Nobody can say, I'm going to de-degree you. I'm going to decertify you. I'm going to take away this knowledge from you. Once it's yours, and that is so powerful. I remember being so pregnant and so big writing my dissertation, especially the final, my third trimester, and I was complaining. And my mentor said to me, she said, you're pregnant, but your brain is still working. And that just hit me so hard because I was like, yeah, I am pregnant, but my brain still works. You know, my body may be a little wobbly right now, but I can still function. And us as women, it's even more difficult because we have these stages in our lives when you become a mom and you become a wife and you become anything else that sort of like shifts you a little bit, gets you off your game a little bit. Those pose challenges, but I tell people, you have to want it. You have to want it more than anybody else, and this is your life, and you have to figure it out for yourself because nobody can help you if you're not ready to help yourself first. So it starts with you and how much you want this, because if you want it, nobody and nothing is going to stop you. And just to connect that a little bit, ladies, if you don't mind, to the early childhood education and the parental involvement, you have to want something for your child that you don't have or that you did not get from your parents or just something better for your children. So the fact of being involved in your child's education early is very, very important. It has to be intention. It has to be structured. It has to be consistent. And I was reading some research earlier this week that talked about how parents from higher socioeconomic status are able to give their children the social, culture, and education capital. So they have that advantage over in the literacy, exposure, experiences. So they have that, those children from those homes have that advantage over kids from lower socioeconomic status because there's some barriers there. Parents may, I'm not sure who talked earlier about the just parents having difficulties with time, with finances, with inflexible jobs to provide their children with certain cultural experiences. But I urge parents, independently of what socioeconomic status you're from, it is important to figure out what do you want for your child, then start to work on it. And I don't want to sound like there are not barriers. Everybody has barriers, but we're responsible for our children. Independently of our socioeconomic status, we're responsible to develop good people, people who can be productive members of society, people who are competent, people who are educated. It's our responsibility. As long as you bring this child in the world, it is your responsibility to take care of this child and to protect this child and to provide this child with everything possible. So I want to go back to encourage parents, independently of your socioeconomic status, to please take the time to use the free resources that we have available. If you can use your local library, you can do some research. They have, I think Stacy and I talked about this before, they have, and probably she can expand more later, on free resources they have at the libraries, not the libraries, the museums. They have museums of certain culture centers that have like free admission space. And take time to take your children to these different culture experiences. It just provides them with a more robust, with more robust language experiences, more robust education experiences. And we have to take the time to invest in our children because if we don't do it, we can't expect the school to do something that the home is not doing primarily. It'll be very difficult. We have to complement the school as well. The school complements the home, and the home complements the school. So I just wanted to sort of like go back to that early childhood education and the parental involvement, that it is important to start early and independently of the socioeconomic status. If you want something, you can achieve it. You can take the time.
Yes, that is awesome. I am so empowered by both of you. And it's really good information that's being released today. And if you are listening and you have a question or you have a comment, please press 1#, and we will be more than happy to put you on the mic. You're listening to the Eloquently Speaking Open Mic radio show. And my guest today is Dr. Stefania Forte and attorney Claudia Lynch. And we are having a wonderful discussion on education and empowerment. And I want to highlight, Dr. Forte, when you mentioned the parent responsibility, it is the parent's responsibility. And coming from the single parent aspect, I raised 3 children alone, and all of that responsibility was left on me. And like many other parents that are raising their children alone. Is it impossible? No, everything is possible, but it takes that much more dedication, that much more pressing in and taking advantage of the many, many resources that are available through schools, through the libraries, like you said, and also through social services. So I'm going to do a brief commercial for the community, because this network is all about community awareness and providing resources that will empower not just our young people, but our young adults and older people to learn what they want to learn and also have access to some resources that can help them accomplish their goals. So, for those of you that are on public assistance anywhere within the United States of America, please reach out to your caseworker, because they have educational programs, training programs, where you can pursue higher education for free. And the training programs, some of them, they have internships where you can actually learn a trade. You can learn electricity. You can learn how to be a plumber. They have non-traditional jobs for females with construction. There are so many different topics, web design, administrative services, and I'm not going to get into all of it, but I'm just making this known. Contact your caseworker and set up an appointment. Get the links from her for the websites that you can log into. If you don't have an account, you set up your account and you go to the page where they have all of these educational resource links and training programs. And if you are working a full-time job and you want to go to school, they have night classes. They have weekend classes. They have a lot of people that have, for the parents that are listening, if you have food stamps or you have a medical card, and this is for the young adults as well, because sometimes our children are putting themselves, our young children, they're still going to be children, I don't care how old they are, but sometimes they're putting themselves through school. You are eligible to apply for medical assistance and food stamps. But if you have these two services through the state, you also have admission into many museums in your area. So culturally, we present this information to you so that you can start exposing your children to the art and to the theater. Now, for some places that don't honor, and if you have your access card, I don't know what it is for all of the other states, but for the state of Pennsylvania, it's an access card, and you present your card. And for some places, if they don't cover the admission altogether, it's just a very small donation that you have to make. So moms and dads, if you are listening, I encourage you, if you're in the state of Pennsylvania, and again, you have to just reach out and call your county assistance office, whichever state you are in. But if you are in the state of Pennsylvania, I encourage you to plan your next weekend trip. Go to the Please Touch Museum. Go to the Art Museum. Take your children to the Academy of Natural Arts and Science. In the Art Museum here, they also offer free art classes. And then for some of them, they have different programs, but they have different programs, and some of them it may be like a slot and fee. But the best thing you can do is take full advantage of Google. Go to Google, type in a topic that your child may be interested in, and it may be something where, oh, I don't have enough money to do that. You'll be surprised at the resources that are out there. We have many science programs, many programs for math and the arts with the drama and the children that love to paint and to draw. And take advantage of these opportunities, because a lot of times this information is not being released. And if they're not being used, they take away the funding for it. So I also want to say, for some of the parents that are struggling with light bills and you need help, because all of these things contribute to the well-being of the child and how well they do in school, because if you don't have electricity, if you don't have heat, how well are they going to do in school? Because they get the colds and they get sick and they can't go. So long story short, check out the weatherization programs that are available. So I just wanted to share that information and to just repeat that, parents, it is our reasonable service to provide a firm foundation for our children. And with that, it comes a major, major sacrifice. And it doesn't mean I put off doing a lot for myself, because my whole sacrifice, everything was centered around my children. And my children are all grown now and graduated college, and two are still in college. But had I known what I know now, I could have pursued my dreams, Dr. Forte and Claudia. I didn't have to wait. It would have been hard, which I just want to piggyback for a moment, you know, the 9 years. You know, I started college and I stopped. I started college and I stopped. So now when I go back, I'm not going to stop. One, because I have two sisters that's on this line with me that's going to push me and encourage me, and I love y'all so much for that. Mm-hmm. But having a good support system means everything. But I want you to, if you're listening, please reach out to me. If you are in the state of Pennsylvania, and if you are outside of the state of Pennsylvania, I will research. I will help you. I will go above and beyond, because it's too many resources out here. So we need to expose our children to as many activities as we can to keep them engaged in positive activities, and to just connect with what Claudia said. Claudia said that, you know, she asked herself a question, what do I want? Can I live this type of lifestyle on this type of – and I'm paraphrasing, but the lifestyle that you want, can you get that working at McDonald's? For the young people that may be listening, can you become that great mechanical engineer if you drop out of school? So what do you want? Are you willing to push past the average pain where the average person gives up and quits because it hurts too much? Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to give up because of the pain, there's no need to even try. You might as well just, you know, everything hurts. Anything worth having is worth fighting for. So you're going to be challenged. And that's the one thing we want you to understand today, especially our young women. which I'm going to turn it back over to Dr. Forte in a moment, but our young women, and I just want to highlight why we mentioned young women versus the young men. So many young women are sexually molested at a young age. They are raped, all kind of sexual trauma, crisis, and they are torn. They are discouraged. They are downtrodden. A lot of them become suicidal. So many things affect them. But yet, many of them go on to do great things because they turned their pain into positive activities that allowed them to rise above their circumstances. But ladies, we have a whole lot of young women that ended up being a statistic where they did not push through the pain. They are on public assistance, and it has become a lifestyle. And one of my goals through this platform is to provide information and a service where we can help meet the needs emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and help them overcome some of those issues, because it's just way too many that go unnoticed, and there's greatness inside of them. And now I'm not talking to us as parents with our responsibility, but as a community, it is our responsibility. You know, we do such a wonderful job talking about these young ladies not working and getting these checks and getting these food stamps, but how many people are really reaching out to them in love? And I'm not saying this we have to do these things, but when do we really make a difference? When do we make that change? When do we become that change? So thank you so much for joining me today, ladies, because this is a very good topic. And I don't think we're going to cover everything just on one episode. So we will have to talk about doing this again and maybe on a regular basis. I don't know. But you both have so much to share, and just with – I'm so full right now. And both of you, I'm taking notes as you're talking, and God is just showing me other things to highlight behind this. So I just really thank you. Go ahead, Claudia.
So yeah, Miss Stacy, you're touching on so many things, and I have, you know, just so much that I want to share. And you're right, we really have to have this as a continuous conversation, because it's a continual issue, right? This issue is never going to go away. But I wanted to touch on what Dr. Stefania said about going to the library. So a part of my development, my love for education and for educating, came through going to my local public library. Like, I look forward on Saturdays to be able to, after chores were done, to go to the library. That was the highlight of my weekend, is going to the library and going to church. So, you know, even as parents who are busy, you may not have to sit down with your child to read, right, because you're busy and you got to get dinner, or, you know, you have to take care of other things. But you can make it a priority. You can tell your son or daughter, hey, I need you to turn off that television, or I need you to stop playing those video games, or, you know, you have only X amount of time doing those things, and I need you to pick up a book. I need you to, you know, sit down and read. Or I need you, you know what I'm saying? You can encourage the behavior without necessarily having to sit down and partake in that behavior. Now, it's better, I think, if you do, and definitely, you know, make it a priority to do it with them, to set an example for the behavior you're asking them for, right? But also just going to the library. So I would take my kids to the library and give them the time to read and do, you know, what they wanted to do with the getting their books. And I could be doing bills. That's when I got my bills done. I'm sitting over on the table. I'm watching them, but I'm getting my bills done at that time. So there are different ways, you know, to just be creative to instill the behavior in your children. And then on the point about resources that's available, I've learned about so many grants and scholarships that's out there that are not being given out because no one's applying for them. I wish I knew about this stuff when I was younger and when, you know, when I was going through school. So definitely Google, definitely using the resources at the schools. I always tell my kids, get to know the folks in the offices. The folks in the offices at the school, they know what's going on. They can help you. Once they see that you are interested, you would be surprised at the amount of energy and effort that those folks will put into your development. Blew me away. But there were things that I was able to do in high school, and the only reason I was able to do those things is because an administrator or a person in the administrative office came along. So I was in the New York City public schools. I grew up in the Bronx, and the New York City education department would have these initiatives that, you know, sometimes it's just something they're checking out, seeing if it'll work, and they would have these partnerships. So one of the things that I remember was a partnership with the businesses and government offices to match students with certain offices. So you were like the CEO for the day, right? And I got partnered with the office of the U.S. Attorney, the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York. At the time, the U.S. Attorney was Rudy Giuliani. And so I was Rudy Giuliani for the day, or I was the assistant U.S. Attorney for the day. I had no desire to be an attorney, but somehow that was who I got matched up with. And so when I went there and I met him, and he's asking me about, you know, what my plans were, I was a senior, and I told him I was going to college to be a doctor. That man, without even knowing me, really, told me, he said, no, you don't need to be a doctor. You should be a lawyer. He saw something I didn't even know was in me. But the reason I got that connection, right? So, you know, they talk about the 6 degrees of separation, right? Rudy Giuliani is now like the personal, one of the personal attorneys to the president. I met that gentleman because my public high school had an initiative where they matched me to be in his office. And so now I know the president's attorney based on a public high school.
Wow. That's awesome.
So the resources are there if we are willing to reach out, right? But get to know, Ms. Stacy is absolutely right. Get to know the folks who are in a position to give you the information. If you don't know, ask somebody. And once you exactly. take the time to get to know, you know, your resources, it'll be provided. It'll absolutely be provided, and you will be surprised. You know, let God blow you away with the connections that He has for you.
Okay, and Claudia, thank you so much. I want to jump in real quick because Dr. Forte has to leave, and I want to turn the mic over to you so that you can have your closing remarks and just highlight on what you want to talk about on our next session coming back. And please provide your contact information about your foundation. I really wanted us to get going a little deeper with your program for the young girls, but we will schedule that on the next session. And I'm going to stop so I can give you the mic because I don't want to make you late.
Oh, no, that's fine. Thank you so much, ladies. This was such a great opportunity. It's always awesome to talk with people who share the same vision, mission in life, you know, appreciation for education, for women's rights and who believe in not giving up the process of becoming who you want to be in life. And this was a great platform and great opportunity. And thank you to our host, and thank you to Attorney Lynch just for the personal experiences and the encouragement that you share with me. You inspire me today to continue my work and to encourage other women, especially young girls, to pursue their dreams in life. The foundation that I'm the founder of is Stefania Forte Education Foundation. The website is S as in Sam, F as in Frank, E as in Ever Foundation.org. We have a Facebook page, Stefania Forte Education Foundation. My personal Facebook, Stefania Forte, Stefania with the S, not PH, so it's easier to find me. But it would give you, once you review our online platforms, it give you an opportunity to see our vision, mission, some strategies that we implement to accomplish those, and introduction to the girls that we're working with and their community efforts that they're engaged in and work they're doing. So I want to thank you all. And Attorney Lynch, thank you for highlighting free resources. Stacey, thank you for highlighting the free resources that parents can have access to. And parents never use reading as a punishment. I see that sometimes. Mm. I want to add that in you can't love reading when in your childhood you were always told, go upstairs and read a book, or go sit there and read a book, because it's a source of punishment. And I'm glad that Attorney Lynch mentioned how even when she's working, you can take the kids to the library, you can do your own work. You can, if you have to feed them food, you can feed them knowledge. It's as important as feeding them for them to grow physically. So you can be creative and always use reading and literacy practices and behaviors and activities as something that is a reward. So, let's go buy a new book. Let's go to the library. Let's go get ice cream and do this. So I think once you start using reading as a reward versus a punishment, then children start to look forward to it. They start to enjoy it. And learning is just not sitting at a table doing activities. You can play and learn. Informal literacy acquisition is even more powerful in the home, because children have no idea they're learning. They think they're playing, but they're actually engaging in language-embedded activities. So learning through play, finding the time, parents, we have to do is our responsibility. We can have all the excuses in the world, but like Attorney Lynch says, when you come home, you have to prepare dinner, right? You can't let them starve. So the same way how you have to feed them physically, you have to clothe them, you're also responsible to feed them intellectually and emotionally. So thank you, ladies, for this platform. I look forward to speaking with you more. And again, and on our next show, hopefully we can talk more about gender-based violence, rape culture, in the U.S., rape culture in especially now, there's some news about the rape culture in Liberia, and how, independently of the developed country versus developing country, we have some sort of parallel experiences in regards to our language and objectifying women, the language that we use, and how sometimes we all participate in this rape culture without even knowing it. And hopefully we can share some light and awareness on that. So I appreciate the time here, ladies, and we'll talk again soon. And thank you so much to the listeners, and hopefully we were able to give you some information. If not, or if you need additional information, please contact any one of us. I'm sure we'll all be glad to share more.
Yes, and before you go, Dr. Forte, we want to encourage you for the wonderful job that you are doing with your foundation, and we want to hear about the sponsorship program and how our listening audience can sponsor a student at your organization. So we will make that the first thing we talk about on the next show, and I will get that information together as well for those that want to learn more and those that want to sponsor one of the young girls in Liberia. So thank you so much. God bless you. And we look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thank you. Have a good day. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Okay, Claudia, so as we continue with the discussion today, I want to thank you so much for all of the wonderful examples that you shared. And I want to give you an opportunity to give your closing remarks as well, and what you would like to highlight on our next session. And how did you feel about today's discussion?
Absolutely. I was just blown away by the divine appointment. Again, just, you know, the way God has used each one of us and how our experiences are a little bit different, but yet there are similar or similarities. And so, you know, just being able to share my experiences to hopefully, you know, empower and inspire someone so that they know that, you know, the struggle is real, but it is doable. And even when you're going through the adversity, to just keep their eyes on the prize, to know that it can be done. So it took me 9 years to get my 4-year degree, my bachelor's degree, but I persevered, and I didn't persevere in my own strength. I had to rely on the strength of the Father within me. And so I am an attorney today, and I've been an attorney now for about 21 years, but I don't take any credit for that, right? Because while you're going through it, you don't see the end. You don't see the reward, but you have to keep your eye on the prize. God has something bigger in store, and when we rely on Him, He'll make the way clear. So the organization that I'm affiliated with outside of my job with the Army is a company, Legal Shield, that provides legal services. And I love the concept of Legal Shield. I so wish I had thought of it myself. But what Legal Shield does is provides legal access to individuals for, you know, anywhere from $9 to $25, $50, depending on the combination of services that you get. But an average of $25 a month for access to legal services. And what the company does is, when you're a member of Legal Shield, they will assign you to a law firm in your state whenever you have a legal issue. And sometimes, you know, as parents, as single parents, as families, we have things that come up where, you know, the legal aspect of it, we can't defend ourselves, we can't defend our rights, and it causes stress, it causes pressure. Those are the things that distract us from being able to. So what Legal Shield says is, hey, when you're a member, you have this access, you have this resource, so you don't have to stress and worry about it. We'll do that and take the pressure off for you. And so if you're interested in learning more about it, for our topic today, because we're talking about being parents and instilling education, one of the things that Legal Shield does is pay a commission to individuals who partner with the company to help spread the services. So you can be working from home or supplementing your income to help, you know, pay for that college degree, or help to, you know, get your child a better education, or for you to be able to live in a better neighborhood where you're in a better school district. So there's an educational component to the income opportunity. You can empower yourself in that way as well. So if you're interested in learning more, you can go to my website. It's Claudia Lynch at wearelegalshield.com. Claudia Lynch at wearelegalshield.com. You can also give me a call. I'd be happy to talk with you. I have an 800 number, actually 833-469-3257. Again, 833-469-3257. Give me a call if you need to just talk about what my company does, how you may be able to partner with Legal Shield. I'd be happy to provide you some information. I so enjoyed the time with you, Ms. Stacy. I enjoyed Dr. Stefania, and I look forward to, I'm a lawyer, so I can pretty much talk about anything, right? But my motto is, I can only talk about what I know. So I look forward to the conversation, or next conversation, about the objectification of women, what Dr. Stefania talked about. One of the things I've done while working with the Army is being a part of the sexual assault and sexual harassment complaint and resolution process. So, you know, I can talk about some of the things I've learned from that experience as well, and, you know, what the military is doing to stem this issue. It's a problem that's worldwide. It's not just, you know, in our communities. It's everywhere. And, you know, we're seeing in the news now all the stuff that's going on, where you have folks that in the highest levels of government and industry who are also being accused of this behavior. So, you know, it's not something that's just in the hood. It's everywhere. So absolutely look forward to our next discussion. And thank you guys so much for your time and for allowing me this opportunity to participate.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. And I love your closing remarks, because abuse and I could say domestic violence, but it surpasses domestic violence. Abuse and mistreatment is not a respecter of persons, and it is happening everywhere. Military, civilians, upper class, middle class, lower class, it's happening everywhere. And that's a whole nother level of education. The more, and abusive behavior is a learned behavior that can be unlearned. And so we just need to put the information out there. And, you know, a lot of times, Claudia, we focus so much on the ones that's being abused, and we neglect the ones that's doing the abusing, because they are the ones that really have an issue. What's going
right.
on underneath the surface? So we need to not be so quick to condemn and to judge. Yes, let righteous justice prevail, but also mm-hmm. in the process, let them receive the healing that they need so that they can be rehabilitated and stop the negative behavior and learn how to display positive behavior. And I believe it's possible, and that's one of the
Absolutely.
Reasons I do what I do, and I'm just so looking forward to this next discussion. And a lot of the things that you shared today, and Dr. Forte, I'm going to put some quotes right in the where the announcement was at on Facebook. So some of the key things, I'm going to put the quotes there with your names so that people can have some of the nuggets that were shared today and can kind of take some time. And I know it's going to provoke them to really rethink some things. And even I'm praying that it'll help them to go back to their drawing board and see where they were, where they are, and where they need to be, because it was just so much good information. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Dr. Forte. This is Stacey Lunsford, and you are listening to Eloquently Speaking Open Mic on the Eloquently Speaking Radio Network. We thank you so much for your support. We will be coming together. We will gather at the table and start another discussion soon, and we'll have that information available to you. So in the meantime, please continue to stand on the word of God and go back to the basics. Go to God and ask him, God, is this in your plans for me? This is what I want to do. Do I have your blessings to do this? And God will let you know, sure, this is exactly what I have for you. Or he will let you know, no, that's not what I have for you. I really want you to do this over here. And if that's the case, then just make that change. Let go of what you were trying to do and line up with what God wants you to do, because God knows everything about you. Our opening song was, I Know the Plans That I Have for You. So ultimately, God chose us. God created us. We belong to him. We do not belong to ourselves. But every gift, every skill, every talent, every ability, every dream, every vision that has been placed inside of you, it came from God. So who else but the source can help you, can catapult you to that place of success, where you can do, in the words of attorney Claudia Lynch or Dr. Lynch, what do you want? What kind of lifestyle do you want to live? Because your education and your job is going to determine if you can accomplish your goals. So I'm going to hold on to that, Claudia, because that really, really touched me. So
awesome. Awesome.
So God bless everyone, and just have a beautiful weekend, and we'll see you again soon. God bless.
God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.